Praise the Lord. Thank Brother James for putting the songs together for us this morning. Amen. All right, let's hold up our Bible this morning, make our confession, say it like you mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God. I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner and not a whiner. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. Turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Now tell somebody, God loves you and so do I. Thank you. Appreciate that. This morning, church, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. As you turn there, the Bible says, mere heart does good like medicine, so I got you some medicine this morning. Yay. Remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended. The first one is Murphy's Real Laws. Everyone has a photographic memory. Some just don't have any film. Come on. He who laughs last thinks slowest. Yeah. A day without sunshine is like, well, night. Change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. Seen it all, done it all, can't remember most of it. This is my favorite. Those who live by the sword get shot by those who don't. Sounds like my wife. She's always late. In fact, her ancestors arrived on the June flower. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be misquoted and used against you. This makes a lot of sense. Honk if you love peace and quiet. Next one says, pardon my driving. I'm reloading. Despite the cost of living, have you noticed how it remains so popular? Yeah, really. It's hard to understand how a cemetery can raise its burial costs and blame it on a higher cost of living. Yeah. It is said that if you line up all the cars in the world end to end, someone would be stupid enough to try and pass them. You can't have everything. Where would you put it? The things that come to those that wait may be the things left by those who got there first. Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll sit in a boat all day drinking. Sound like Seth's crew, huh? Just kidding. Flashlight, a case for holding dead batteries. The shin bone, a device for finding furniture in the dark. Everybody lies, but it doesn't matter since nobody listens. I wish the book stopped here. I could use a few. I started out with nothing, and I still have most of it. When you go into court, you're putting yourself in the hands of 12 people who weren't smart enough to get out of jury duty. Signs. These are signs on a plumber's truck. We repair what your husband fixed. On another plumber's truck, don't sleep with a drip, call your plumber. Another sign on a maternity room door, push, push, push. At a car dealership, sign says the best way to get back on your feet, miss a car payment. Outside a muffler shop, sign says, no appointment necessary. We hear you coming. A sign in a veterinarian's waiting room, be back in 5 minutes. Sit, stay. At the electric company, a sign says, we would be delighted if you send in your payment. However, if you don't, you will be delighted. In a restaurant window, don't stand there and be hungry. Come on in and get fed up. Sign in front of the yard of a funeral home. Drive carefully. We'll wait. Sign in front of a Chicago radiator shop. Best place in town to take a leak. And the best one for last. Sign on the back of another septic tank truck. Caution, this truck is full of political promises. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all came this morning for a full meal deal. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 2. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We're all going to hear the same word this morning. We're going to hear the good news. Some of us are going to benefit or profit from it. Some of us are not, because we're not going to mix faith with it. Amen? Have you ever wondered about faith? Ever doubted that you had it? Wish you had more of it? There are few things in life that can be misunderstood more than faith. One day, a young disciple of Christ, desiring to fully receive all that God had for him, he visited the home of an elderly Christian. He had heard that this old man had never lost his first love for Christ over all the years. The elderly man was sitting on the porch with his dog, taking in a beautiful sunset. The young man posed this question: why is it, sir, that so many Christians zealously chase after God during the first year or two after their conversion, but then they fall into a complacent ritual of church once or twice a week, and they end up not looking any different than their neighbors who aren't even Christians? I've heard that you're not like that. The old man smiled and replied, let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting here quietly in the sun with my dog. Suddenly this large white rabbit ran across the field in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up and took off after that big white rabbit. He chased it over the hills with a passion. Soon these other dogs joined in, attracted by his barking. What a sight it was, as a pack of dogs ran barking across the creeks, up the stony embankments, and through the thickets and thorns. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit, discouraged by the course and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued to pursue the white rabbit. He said, in that story, young man, lies the answer to your question. The young man kind of sat there confused and said, I don't understand. What's the connection between a white rabbit and a quest for God? He said, you fail to understand because you fail to ask the obvious question. Why didn't the other dogs continue in the chase? And the answer to that question is, they had not seen the rabbit. Unless you see the prize, the chase is just too difficult. You'll lack the faith, you'll lack the passion, you'll lack the determination to keep up the chase. Everybody alive daily expresses faith in something. When you woke and went to the bathroom this morning, you flipped the light switch and you had faith that it was going to work, didn't you?
Yes.
When you enter your car, you turn the key and you have faith that it's going to start. When you mail a letter, you have faith the postal system will get it to the right address at least someday. And every time you walk into a building, you're expressing faith. Faith in the architects and the workmen that built it. When you're driving down the highway and you're running 75 miles an hour, you're acting on faith that those tires are going to get you where you need to be safely. But in each case, there was an action. Flipped a switch, you turned a key, you mail a letter, you walk into a building. But it has action. A lot of people, you've heard of a tightrope walker. His name was Blondin. He was one of the greatest tightrope walkers of all time. And there are many legends told of the feats he performed. And one of the most often told stories concerns his crossing over the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He did this several times. At some point, he turned to his large audience, which included numerous reporters from various newspapers, and he asked them, "How many believe I can walk across this tightrope over these falls pushing a wheelbarrow?" Everybody cheered loudly. They were sure that the great Blondin, he could do it. Then he asked, "How many believe I can push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope with a man sitting in it?" Again, there was a loud response. Blondin then pointed to one of the most enthusiastic men in the audience and said, "Okay, you, get into the wheelbarrow." Needless to say, the man made a very quick exit. See, Blondin demonstrated that there's often a great difference between belief, the faith that we say we have, and the action faith that we really have. The measure of faith is not our talk, but it's in our walk. Everybody can talk a good talk, but when life's pressure hits you, how are you walking? Faith is what we do, church. It's not what we say we'll do. Faith is what we do. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a part of us. Faith is described in two ways. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is the acting foundation that gives the believer the confidence to stand. It's your faith that causes you to be able to go through the storms in life, believing that God's promises are true, believing that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. When you can't see, when you don't understand what's happening to you, it's your faith that carries you through. The greatest measure of faith, in my opinion, is when you keep on trusting and believing God when you can't see any answers or see any hope. Amen? This verse could be translated, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. This confidence is illustrated in life. One missionary, Hudson Taylor, went to China. He was in a sailing vessel. Very close to shore of some cannibal islands, the ship was caught in a calm, and it was slowly drifting toward the shore. And the savages were sitting there thinking, "Man, here comes us a meal." Then the captain came to Mr. Taylor, and he sought him to pray for help of God. "I will," said Taylor, "provide you set your sails to catch the breeze." And the captain declined to make himself a laughing stock by unfurling the sails in a dead calm. It didn't make any sense. Why would I let the sails down? We have no wind. Taylor said, I will not undertake to pray for the vessel unless you prepare the sails. So it was done. While engaged in prayer, there was a knock at the door of his stateroom. Who's there? The captain's voice responded. Are you still praying for wind? Yes, well. The captain said, you better stop praying. We got more wind than we can manage. Church, you've got to act out what you believe. I can say I believe the Bible's true all day long, but until I begin to act on it, until it becomes a part of my life, nothing's going to change. I've had people many times tell me, oh, I believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And they'll be going through a trial or a test or need healing or finances or whatever it is. And you'll ask them, okay, what scripture are you standing on? What scripture are you basing your faith on? Well, I just believe all of it. No, you need to have something specific to stand on to direct your faith to. Amen? You see, we should have no fear about living out the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is God's gift. The Holy Spirit is the wind in our sails, enabling us to live the ideal of grace, to live a life of faithing. I told James that word this morning. He looked at me, faithing. I've never heard that one before. Faithing is faith in action. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the life that we need to live, church. You and I cannot do the things we need to do. We can't deal with the things we need to deal with in life. The Bible says that in this world you're going to have problems. So many people get the wrong idea. They think, well, I got saved and I belong to Jesus. I'm never going to have another problem. Wrong. You just enlisted in God's family and you're a big-time enemy of the devil. And he's going to do everything in his power to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be witnesses. My question this morning, what kind of witness are we? When people see you, who do they see? What do they see? Tell somebody you're a witness. Not just on your good days, when you had a good hair day and everything's working out good, life is good. No, you're a witness at all times in your life. The world's watching, the world's looking at you. And it's sad, they don't know any better, so when you don't walk it like you're supposed to walk it, you don't live it like you're supposed to live it, first thing the devil gets on their shoulders and they begin to say, well, I thought you was a Christian. I am a Christian. But I still live in this flesh just like you do. And I fight battles just like you do. Amen? But it's the Holy Spirit power that enables us to overcome everything that the world, the devil, throws at us. Amen? So many times we try to live the Christian life in our own efforts in church. We're going to fail. Brother John, will you help her in there? Thank you, sir. You see, there's a transforming power available to us and to everybody that calls himself a follower of Christ. The Bible said that Israel was going to be like a flower blooming in the desert. If you know anything about the Middle East and you've seen any pictures, you know there's a lot of sand over there. But do you also know that Israel exports more flowers and vegetables and stuff like that than probably any other country in that area? Why? Because they have the power of God working on them. Amen? You see, the Word has to transform us before we can transform the world. You say, well, why do you preach so much on transforming? Because we went from being dead to being resurrected, being born again. And God wants to transform you. Transformation is something that happens from the inside out. Confirmation is something that happens from the outside in. He says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, don't let the world, don't act like the world, don't let the world cause you to be patterned after it. Don't let the pressures of life cause you to be like the rest of the world. He says, no, be transformed. Let me change you from the inside out by renewing your mind, changing the way you think. John 3 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. God says, I want you to prosper as your thinking prospers. I want you to prosper as your choices prosper. And I want you to prosper as your emotions prosper. You stop and think about life. Thinking is what got us in a lot of trouble we're in now. Because we thought about it, then we made the wrong choice. And then when we made the wrong choice, we got to feeling really weird about it. You got all upset and get all bent out of shape. But what he's saying here, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit's power to transform and change you. To where no matter what happens on the outside, no matter what the devil's doing, the world's doing, what people are saying, what you're seeing, you're going to stand on my word. You're going to believe what I say above everything else. I heard a preacher say the other day he was believing God for something and he'd been confessing it. If you're believing God for something, confess it. Speak it out. And he said, all of a sudden pressures and problems begin to rose. And he said, I caught myself quit confessing. I was still believing, but I wasn't confessing it no more. How many times we've done that? We started out really great, and then all of a sudden life's pressures and problems and trouble and other people, all these things, and we just, all of a sudden, we allowed the devil to shut our mouth. And he said, I had to get back to confessing it again. The Bible says, hold fast your confession. In other words, if I get in agreement with God and say what God says about my life, about my situation, about my family, about my children, then that brings God, obligates God to back up His Word. He said, I watch over my Word to perform it. He said, it does not return void, but it accomplishes the things I sent it to do. You want to be transformed and not conformed. Amen? And see, action faith is the key to unlocking this power. To receive this transforming power, we got to open ourselves up to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through acting faith. Think about it. The Bible says that God spoke, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to move. And God brought light and order out of chaos. He spoke it. We don't understand how important or how powerful our words are, church. Oh, that's just, I don't mean nothing by it. I just say this, I just said that. Let your husband get up in the morning and say, man, you need to go back to the bathroom and start all over again. You tell me those words ain't going to have some effect? Or you get up and your husband tells you, you're the most beautiful person in the world. I love you with all my heart. Boy, that's going to change your whole day. Your words, they're powerful. The Bible says you have the power of life and death in the tongue. You can speak blessings or you can speak curses. Amen? The question should be, where does this faith come from? First, this faith cannot be earned. It's a gift of God. Paul clarifies how faith comes. He said in his letter to the believers in Rome, he said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, so many people, well, I've already heard that. It didn't say haven't heard. It says by hearing. You keep on hearing. You know what? You hear negative stuff all week long, don't you? And if you keep listening to that all week long, you begin to believe that. Same is true with the positive things. You may be looking at a very negative situation, but if you get in agreement with God, you begin to say what God says about it, your faith is going to rise up. You're going to begin to believe God. Then God's going to move on that situation and do what He needs to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My question is, what are you hearing? If you were like some of us when we were growing up, maybe you didn't have parents that should have been parents, and they told you what a failure you were, what a loser you were, how you're never going to make it, you're never going to measure up. Those words framed your world. That's what you heard. And the more you heard it, the more you begin to believe it. What are we hearing? Who are we listening to? There are two Greek words translated word in the scriptures. The words are logos and rhema. And many times you can interchange these, but generally logos is described as a general word, the general knowledge of God, the written word. And through the scripture, you can receive all the knowledge you need concerning God and His promises, but just through reading alone, you will not receive faith. You may receive knowledge and understanding about God, but you will not receive faith. In the scripture passage, the Greek word used is not logos, but rhema. Faith specifically comes by hearing a rhema of God. Logos has been defined as a written and a said word of God. Rhema as the saying or the action word of God. Rhema is a faithing word of God. That is God giving a specific word to a specific person for a specific purpose or situation. You ever had a God speak to you? You ever get a revelation? You ever get a word, rhema word? And you knew that God was talking to you. See, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And when God speaks to you, He's a spirit. And when God speaks to you, He speaks to your spirit, and your spirit comes alive and quickens, and you know it's God talking to you. Nobody can talk you out of that. There was a word of the Lord that came to Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to them so they'd be saved. He didn't want to go because they were his enemies. How many times God told you to do something, you didn't want to do it because you didn't really like the person God told you to go do something for? You need to forgive this person. You need to go love that person. You need to bake that person a cake. Go give $10 to this person. But God, Well, you know what happened to Jonah? He decided he didn't want what God wanted to do, so he was going to go a different direction. And he ended up in the belly of a big fish. I couldn't imagine. He said, when I was there, when he had nowhere else to turn, he said, I turned back to God. If I was in the belly of a whale, you know what? I'm going to be crying out to God too. And the big old whale just regurgitated him up on the dry land. And don't you know he was a sight? Here he's going to Nineveh. He got seaweed all over him. Acid from that whale's stomach's kind of bleached his skin all white. He walks into Nineveh, repent! That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Jeremiah was another one that got a word from God. God told him to warn Israel that their enemies were going to come and destroy them. No one listened to him. Sometimes you're going to get a word from God, and you're going to know it's God talking to you, and you're going to try to share it with somebody else, and they're not going to listen. Kind of like Janae was talking about Joseph this morning. Yeah, amen. He tried to tell them, warn them. You know what happened to him? They put him in jail. They put him in a dungeon. But he knew that he'd heard from God. They put him in a dungeon when the enemy came and destroyed the city. They took away all the inhabitants captive except Jeremiah. They found him in that dungeon and they turned him loose. Church, we need to be able to hear from God. You'd be shocked at the Christian say, oh, I don't know how to hear God. the Bible says, you're my sheep. You know my voice. See, we don't have no problems listening to the devil because we've listened to him for years and years and years and years. When he's telling me to go get high, yeah, devil, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go get high. Let's go get drunk. Okay, devil, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go get drunk. We had no problem with him. We're used to hearing his voice. But God wants us to hear his voice. Amen? He wants to give you a revelation. He wants to give you something you never had before. I want you to listen to me, men. Whether you like it or not, you are the spiritual head of your household. Whether you want to be or not. And God wants you to be able to hear what he's saying to you for your family and your situations. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the rhema of God. And without rhema, it's impossible to please God. You can't just take my word on it. You know, there's so many people basing their salvation on some minister, some pastor. What if he's telling you a lie? What if he's not telling you the truth? That's why I tell you all the time, don't take my word for it. You go check it out in your Bible and see what God says to you. Just because a pastor says it doesn't mean it's always right. There's some counterfeits out there. And don't ever do anything somebody tells you that does not line up with the Word of God. Peter never walked on the water because of logos, because of a general knowledge. Peter required that God, Christ give him a specific word. And Peter asked, Lord, if you're Jesus, command me to come. And Jesus replied, come. The word Christ gave to Peter was rhema. It brought forth action. The word Christ gave brought forth faithing. Peter had to do something. When Jesus said come, he had to step out of the boat. And a lot of people ridiculed him. Yeah, he stepped out of the boat, but look at him, he sank. But look at him, he also walked on the water. The rest of them still sitting in the boat. The rest of them didn't get a word from God. They knew Jesus, but they didn't get a specific word. Peter got a specific word, and he acted on that word and began to do the impossible. Amen? Don't get me wrong, the scriptures are extremely important in our lives, and we're called to read and to digest the Word of God. That's another thing. Don't just read the Word of God. Digest it. Amen. Meditate on it. If it's this important, if your eternal salvation is based on what the Word of God says, then you need to know the truth. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's a process. As you learn the truth and you apply the truth in your life, then it's going to break the bondages in your life and cause you to be victorious in this life. Amen. Most of us were waiting for the sweet by and by. No, Jesus said you can have it right here in the now. Don't take my word for it. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. God's not your enemy. It's the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? You may listen to the Word of God. You may study the Scriptures. But only when the Holy Spirit comes and quickens or makes it alive and stirs the Scriptures to your heart does it become rhema. Some of you are listening to what I'm saying this morning, the Scripture I read this morning, and you hear it. But some of you are getting a revelation this morning. Something's beginning to change. You want to act on what you're hearing this morning. You're not just going to listen to it, let it hit you on the head and bounce out the doors and out into the street. No, you're going to let it get down into your heart. If you're not meditating on God's Word, if you never have time to wait upon the Lord, then how can the Lord come and quicken His word into your heart? Do you know it's one of the hardest things in church to get people to wait on God? We want God. We want Him on our time. God, you've got 1 hour. Now, bless me, entertain me, please me, do something good for me. After that, I'm out of here. And I'm not throwing stones. I used to be the world's worst. I sat on the back row back there when Brother Walker was preaching the Dallas Cowboys playing. I was telling Brother Walker, well, you got to 12 o'clock, man. The Dallas Cowboys playing. You need to get through. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all just as guilty, so straighten your little halos. Amen. Some of you are sitting there now saying, I wish he'd shut up. Man, my stomach, I'm getting hungry. I'm ready to go eat. He said over here, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen. It's through action faith, church. That's how you grow and that's how you mature. How are you ever going to know what God can do? As long as you're just reading it, it's not going to. You're never going to know what God can do, what He's capable of. I could be starving to death. And Janelle's a heck of a cook. She could lay me out a buffet right there in front of me. And I could sit there and look at that buffet all day long and say, man, I know if I eat that food, I'm gonna be okay. As long as I say that, as long as I look at it, and as long as I don't do anything, guess what? I'll starve to death. And some of us, we're the same way. We read the Word, but yet we're not acting on the Word, so it's not doing us any good. It's not easy, church, to live this life. Sometimes we feel like we're in a marathon. Sometimes we feel like giving up. But you got to push on. You got to continue faithing. You got to persevere. I want to read this. Janelle sent this to me. Jesus told the blind man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash the dirt from his eyes. So here's the question. What do you need to remove from your life today in order to see what God wants you to see and do what God wants you to do? Whether it's a destructive habit, a toxic relationship, or a bad attitude, you got to get rid of it. James writes, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James chapter 4, verse 7. God will do His part, but you've got to do yours. God will extend grace to you, but you've got to act on it. It said that water which flowed into the pool of Siloam came from under the temple and was used to wash the utensils which were part of the worship and sacrifice. In other words, this water didn't come from a man-made source, but from the presence of God. Don't miss the point here. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. John 15, Paul says, speaks of the washing of water by the word. And David writes, how can a young man or an older one cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So the secret to victorious Christian living is bathing your mind each day in the Scriptures. Picture yourself taking a bath in God's Word and the dirt and the grime coming off of you. That's what meditating on the Scripture does for you. Like I said, you're bombarded all week long with negative, 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 negative stuff. We come to church on Sunday morning, we get a little dabble, do you? It takes more than that, church. Sometimes in our walk, our Christian walk, we need to put down a stake or put down a marker. A marker that declares, yeah, God touched me right here. God used me right there. God quickened my faith in my heart right here. This one pastor said, there's an organization called Faith Alive that sends a group of men and women to a church to share their relationship with the Lord. He said, the weekend does far more than that. It helps the parish. It really begins communicating at a spiritual level with each other. He said, during these weekends, there's a program not only for adults, but for youth and for small children. He said, I've been involved with Faith Alive for approximately 2 years working with adults. When some friends who were children coordinators called me, they'd both come down with the flu, and they asked me if I'd lead the children's program next week. Believe me, the last thing I wanted to do as a single young man was to be with a bunch of little kids on a long weekend. But he said, I agreed to go. I contacted a friend of mine to see if she'd join me in this great adventure, and she did. The Faith Alive happened to be at a congregational church in New York. The three-hour drive gave us plenty of time to panic before we got there. When he arrived, he said we were not disappointed. There they were, 30 little children ranging in age from 5 to 12 years old. He said, man, I do not remember having that much energy when I was a child. But he said, we had a wonderful time together. We sang, we cut out snowflakes to show how God makes each of us different and special. We talked about how much Jesus loves us and watches over us. Now, during the whole weekend, the love of Christ is brought into focus through a story called The Warm Fuzzies. You see, warm fuzzies may look like a fuzzy ball of yarn, but really, it's a symbol of God's love. And near the end of the weekend, the children tell the warm fuzzy story to the whole congregation, and then they pass out literally hundreds of warm fuzzies to the adults in the audience. It's a very touching moment, not only for the children, but for the adults as well. So we got together with the children one more time to say goodbye. But God has something else in mind. The children want to know how to get Jesus into their hearts. I didn't remember that happening very often with the adults. I guess that's why Jesus says, come as little children. Well, the manual clearly states, do not have a prayer circle with little children. They will not stay still. But I was moved to have one anyway. I was faithing. I turned down the lights and we sat in a circle on the floor. And as I took the hand of the little girl next to me, I felt the presence and the power of Christ in a way that I had never experienced before. We prayed a short prayer of repentance together. And I know that Jesus touched every one of those little children. He said, but the story didn't end there. 2 years later, I was on another weekend working with children. And a lady from the church in New York happened to be part of the team. And she came over to me and said, do you remember the little girl from our church with a learning disability? Yeah, I remember. Well, she had to go to the hospital to have a heart operation. Do you know what she asked her mom? Mom, if I die, will you bury me with my warm fuzzy? That little girl from New York died in the hospital. In her casket, she held her warm fuzzy, a symbol of God's love. Church, we got to be people of faith. We got to persevere. You got to fight the good fight. God wants us to grow up. If you do not mature, if you do not grow up, how are you ever going to help somebody else? Can you imagine me at my age, my mom still carrying me on her hip? That's a heck of a picture, isn't it? We grow up in the natural life, but sometimes as Christians, we never grow up. How are you going to help pull somebody else out of the mud if you're still in the mud? Whenever a situation feels too difficult, whenever I feel like giving up, he says, I look back at that stake, that marker that's planted in New York, and I remember that little girl. And I can say, God used me there. God touched me there. And if I persevere, if I remain in faith, God is going to use me again. God's going to touch me again. He's going to use me to touch somebody else. I want to say something to you here. Don't get the wrong idea about Christians. Nowhere in the Bible does it say they were perfect. None of us are perfect. We are forgiven. We're under construction. God is working on us. And we're all at different levels of our walk with God. So many people think, well, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to make no mistakes. You're not supposed to act that way. You're not supposed to get upset. You're still human. As Gary, we were studying this morning in the scriptures, flesh and the spirit fight against one another. Your spirit wants to do what God wants you to do. If you do what God wants you to do, you're going to have a better life. I'm going to say this. Even if there wasn't a God, if you do what the Bible says, if you live according to the Bible, you'll still have a better life. Amen. You're going to treat people better. You're going to be treated better. Amen. You're going to have a better attitude, outlook. Amen. So many people think, oh, you're supposed to be this Christian. I thought you was this Christian. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. But if you look at his disciples that followed him very closely for 3 years, were a mess. Yes. They fought amongst themselves. Peter was always running off at the mouth. They had some problems. So don't get the wrong idea. Some people, I can't serve God. I just can't live that life. No, you can't. I can't either. But Jesus made a way to put his spirit inside of us so that he can live through us the life that he wants us to live. Amen. Winding this down for those that church is almost over. My question this morning, have you seen the rabbit? You see, you can't live this life on somebody else's experience. Well, I know my mom served God for a long time, or my dad served God for a long time, my grandmother served. That's all good and well. But have you seen the rabbit? You see, Paul, who was Saul, had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul had been trained all his life to be the head Pharisee, the head religious dude. Jesus had a different plan. He was on his road, on the road to Damascus, on his road to go and persecute more Christians, throw more Christians in jail. And he had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus knocked him off his high horse. Paul was never the same again. He was blinded for a short period of time, then Ananias prayed for him and he got his sight. But he didn't just get his physical sight, he got spiritual sight. Church, if you haven't seen the rabbit, you don't know what we're talking about this morning. The Bible says the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. It doesn't make any sense. Why do these people want to come to church on Sunday morning? Why do they want to come to church on Wednesday night? Why do you want to read your Bible all the time? Why do you want to pray? Why do you want to be a good person? Doesn't make any sense to the natural mind. It's just a foolishness. You have to be born again and allow the Spirit to reveal it to you. I was just like y'all, some of y'all. Used to, when my mom tried to preach to me, I thought, all them crazy Christians, I don't want none of that Jesus stuff. It don't make no sense to me. I don't want to hear it. But then when I had an encounter with Jesus, I saw the rabbit. My life has never been the same. Your life will never be the same. Does that mean I make all the right choices? No. Do I always do all the right things? No. Ask Joy. You don't believe me? Ask Stephen. He'll tell you the same thing. But I'm striving. I'm trying. And when I do blow it, when I do mess up, I want to be humble enough to come to God and say, God, I blew it. I messed up. I did the wrong thing. I made a mess out of it. But guess what, God? I'm your mess. Amen? This morning, church, be of good courage. Exercise the faith that God has given you. Oh, I wish I had faith like so-and-so. You can. There's no limiting. God says all things are possible to him who can believe. What can you believe God for? I've seen little 10-year-old kids believe God for miracles. It didn't come with age. It comes with faith. How much do you believe? Fight the good fight and finish the race. Never be satisfied. Continually seek to be transformed into the image of Christ. None of us have arrived. As much as some of us in our own minds become a legend in our own minds, we have not arrived. There's still room for God to work on us. And when we cross over to the other side of eternity, and we collapse in Jesus' arms, you and I can know that we had nothing left to give. We gave Him all. Amen? I'm going to read this story, and I'm going to close, I promise. I cut this out of the paper. It says, as believers, we know we were born in sin. Jesus came and paid the price, so we don't have to stay in that same place of sin. By faith through the blood of Jesus, we know we've been made free from the law of sin and death. We no longer depend on our feelings or what we think. Our dependency is upon Jesus Christ as our Lord of our life. We understand the only way to the blessing of God is by being obedient to the Word of God. Anything we want from God must come through Jesus by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Our life cannot change without the Word of God working in our life. We have to first be in a place to hear God's Word and allow God's Word to work inside. God's Word will change the way we see ourselves and others. If we allow God's Word to work inside, it will help us see a new direction in Christ Jesus. We no longer want to be the same or pattern our life after the things of this world. By knowing the Word of God and allowing it to work in our life, it can change our mind. Trusting, believing, walking, and living according to God's Word, we can go places we thought we could never get. Some of you here this morning, you never thought you'd ever get out of the bondage that you were in. Whether it was drugs, alcohol, fear, worry, pride, whatever. But you found out by listening to the Word of God, digesting the Word of God, believing the Word of God, it's changing you. I know there's a lot of people that said, man, that old boy's never going to change. Well, God had a different plan. We can have and enjoy the blessing of God and know without a shadow of a doubt life is beautiful. God will bring us into a place where no storm in life will be able to overtake us. Why? Because faith in Jesus has made Him our covering. The darts of Satan are no longer able to penetrate through our flesh and cause us to be bitter or selfish because we've allowed Jesus to be our covering. His shield always protects us from all hurt, harm, and danger. The Word of God through faith in Jesus brings us into a new direction in life by giving us a new mindset. All the good old church stuff we can't do us any good without a changed mind in Jesus Christ. You can come here and you can sit on these pews year after year after year after year. If you don't allow the Word of God to change you, it's not going to change anything. You're still just going to be a person sitting in a pew. Like Joyce Meyer says all the time, you can go stand in a garage, but that don't make you a car. No matter how good we preach, sing, play, teach, dance, or shout, we have to be able to stand before God. Let's understand that God will never judge us according to what somebody did to us. The judgment will be about what we do. I want you to let that soak in. Romans chapter 12 says, we as believers by the mercy of God should present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. This is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A new mind in Jesus means a new power to stand on, which means a new direction and a new birth in Jesus Christ. Whosoever will let Him come, whosoever believe in Him should not perish. The Word works if you work the Word, church. Other than that, it's just, don't mean this disrespectful, it's just writings in a book until you allow the Holy Spirit to cause it to come alive and it becomes the living Word of God. You say, well, God don't speak to me. Yes, He does. You know what my mom told me one time when she was praying for me? I was telling God, you're not talking to me. And she told me, God told me to tell you, you don't stay still long enough to listen. That's the problem with a lot of us. We're so busy about everything else, but the most important thing we need is to hear God. Amen? Give God praise and glory in the house this morning. I pray that touches you, encourages you. When we come to church, we don't come to church just to be seen, just to go through the formality. You're here to have an encounter with Christ. And you have that encounter through His Word and by His Spirit. And like I said a while ago, don't come to church and say, okay, Lord, here, you got an hour, entertain me, bless me. No, say, Lord, I'm here. What can you do with me to bless somebody else? How can I help make this better for you? You get that attitude and watch what God will do in your life. Amen? You'll stand, please. No one moving around. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.